Welcome to the One for All podcast with your host Joshua Adam Lee Marbuthnot with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
So, I think this is the podcast that's the tale of two sides.
It's the penultimate WrestleMania episode.
It is. Mm. We're getting closer. This is really a story about two sides. One side about amazing wrestling, and the other side is entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Some entertainment, some good entertainment, some bad entertainment.
Yeah, a mix of both. You get the good, the bad, the ugly, man. Well, let's go with the good. It's always fun to start with the good.
Let's start with the good.
Strong style evolved. No, a lot of tag matches on the show, but everyone, you know, was very good. But we're going to talk about the main one, which was Golden Lovers and the Young Bucks. And man, did that live up to the hype.
Yeah, that's I don't think you can ever say that the Young Bucks don't have at least some form of psychology and storytelling ingrained in their DNA.
No, they may have their flippy shit, but they also have a lot of psychology with that all.
Do they ever? That match is a go back and must watch, because as a wrestling fan, that's something you will enjoy.
Absolutely.
I almost want to tell you to just go and watch it with the Japanese commentary, because while Strong Style Evolved was good, and they announced their G1 special coming back to going to San Francisco, the Cow Palace, big deal.
Big deal.
Some of the production was a little for that. The camera guys seemed a little lost.
Along with the announcing. I look forward to the Botchamania, because show's going to have some heavy Botchamania, and it has nothing to do with the wrestling, although there was a few botches, especially in that main event. But Jim Ross doesn't know his Brits. There's that, at least.
Yeah.
Got Marty Scurll, Ospreay, and Zack Sabre were all mixed up at one point. Couldn't say Marty Scurll. And I think JR's lost his fastball. I don't even know if he's pitching a knuckleball at this point. It wasn't pretty. Same with and Josh Burnett, I also think, has – you would expect one of them to at least do their research beforehand. You know, you have a job. It's kind of like I was talking to you earlier with Golek and Trey Wingo when they interviewed Ronda Rousey today. It's like, just do your research.
Yeah.
You're lined up for this. Just do your research. It's not that hard. I mean – for the Ronda Rousey interview, they obviously just did not – they were on ESPN. They did not care about talking about WWE. As far as Ross and Burnett, like, this is their job. So I don't know why they weren't better educated on this. And I also don't understand why in the Access we just don't get Kevin Kelly and Cyrus, Don Callis. I just don't understand it.
I don't either, because both of those – like, I always – Kevin Kelly and Callis is amazing. They're great. They are great to listen to. And I think they could have helped add to the whole atmosphere that we got to experience. But, that is my biggest negative about this show.
I listened to Chael Sonnen today with Jericho. Chael Sonnen could have probably done a better job as a color guy than Josh Burnett could have. Because Chael seems to really care and knows his shit.
Yeah, well, and if I remember correctly, I think Josh Barrett's buried the Bucks before.
Has he?
Yeah, he kind of undersold their performance last year at the G1 special. Him and JR were doing color commentary, play-by-play in color, and Josh kind of undersold the Young Bucks and was like, oh, look at them. Like, he's very kind of...
I think he's kind of in that Daniel Cormier side of things.
Yeah.
Of the more old school wrestling, this is how it's supposed to be. And don't get me wrong, you and I talked about this before the air. There's definitely a lot of coordination, gymnastics, predetermined kind of stuff that they're going to do. But guess what? Wrestling's a work. It's all predetermined.
Yeah.
So, and they proved with that flippy shit that they could still tell a match with the friendship with Kenny and with Matt's back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. With those are very two big cruxes from this. Watching Kenny, the way Kenny had remorse throughout the whole thing, and the way that the Bucks interacted with him, the way Coda interacted with the Bucks, everyone had a different dynamic. It all had a story that led ultimately to that final one-winged angel and led to the Golden Trigger, which was... Mm-hmm. That move's gotta hurt. I mean, all these guys seem pretty banged up. The speculation is Kota Ibushi had a concussion.
That's what I'm hearing.
Kenny may very well have fractured an orbital bone. He is wrestling again April 1st for Sakura Genesis. So we have that. So he must not be that bad. But it's still one of those things where it's like, they really went all in, pun intended, and it furthered along the being the elite storyline.
It did, and I just liked the dynamic of certain things in here because I really think the art, especially talk to Charlotte Flair about this, who's terrible at it, the art of selling a body part has really been lost, and I really thought they picked it up in this match, especially Matt with the back, even to the point when Nick throws someone onto Matt's back because he can't lift him up. Just little things like that are huge. And you talked about the one-winged angel. That move has been used so beautifully, almost kind of how they've used Brock Lesnar's F5 to the point where, like, when that move is hit, you know it's over. Yeah. And him having the one-winged angel is like, holy crap, is he actually going to hit one of the Bucks with that move?
Yeah, because that move's been devastating. I don't quote me on this because I haven't done a deep dive on it. But I believe that since Kenny has transitioned from a junior to a heavyweight, no one's kicked out of that move.
No, because that was a story with Okada. Remember, he couldn't hit it on Okada, and he finally did.
And that's when he finally got his victory.
Yeah, because he couldn't hit it in the Tokyo Dome match, and then in the draw, he couldn't hit it either.
Well, he hit it, but there was the feet in the ropes.
The feet in the ropes, yeah. So there's always been a break. And then he finally hit it at the G1 when he was able to beat Okada. So that move has been saved and been very special. And I like when you build up moves, much like they build up the F5 of Brock right now. So when Roman does kick out, it will be a big deal. We all know it's coming, but it's good that they've built up that move to make it a big deal. Much like even with Samoa Joe and the Coquina Clutch. Once he hits it, you know it's locked in, right? And,
unless
you know,
it's Brock.
Unless it's Brock. New Japan had that for a bit with the... with the Styles Clash as well. So they've done a really good job of that. And even the, you know, I still think Johnny and Almost is the match of the year, but both of them had emotion and both of them really ended on big knees to the head with Almost onto Johnny and then with the double V trigger onto, I think it was Nick that got the final blow.
You may have been Matt. There are a few little dynamics from this that you look back at. Matt had the belt from Cody, as we learned from being the elite, and he didn't. So you're seeing little things that are starting to trickle out as this story builds. They're not giving it all away just yet, but I think we're getting closer and closer to kind of getting a clear picture on where everything is going. What do you think of that being a lead episode? Because Matt, they turned that around really quick.
Yeah, it's props to them for how quick they turned it around. Give it credit to you. It was your show of the year last year, and it does such a good job. I mean, the only other better build in wrestling to me right now is Ciampa and Gargano. That's the only build that's even coming close to this right now. And it's just so simple. It's a good story. It used to be like I liked the Joey Ryan stuff, and I like some of the comedy stuff, but I don't even really want to see any comedy on there right now. I just want all storyline, all mostly serious stuff on there, to the point if I see Marty singing on there or anything like that, I'm going to kind of be turned off. I like the serious tone of the show now. It went from this SNL, let's just do fun stuff feel to we're using this to prolong storylines, and I like that a lot more.
I don't know. You got to have a little bit of comedy.
For sure you do. I just think where they are right now, it'd be kind of disjointed to have Marty just singing randomly.
This last episode worked just fine. They had Joey Ryan thinking he hurt, was not Joey Ryan, Hangman Page hearing things
That's
about
true.
him getting the piss poured into his mouth.
Dick Blade.
So it still has its place. It still works, yeah. And I think they're still delivering a top-notch product. The Young Bucks brand just continues to grow more and more.
It does. And you made a prediction. Normally I'm the one that goes out like 6 months ahead and just calls my shot, but you called your shot for All In, and I'll let you say what you think it's going to be.
Well, I have a feeling it'll be this, but I mean, I could be wrong. I think we may see it at tag team where it's Cody and Nick. Because Nick is... No, it's Matt. These Bucks are confusing. It'll be Nick, Matt, and Cody taking on Kenny and Nick.
I thought you were saying the one-on-one match between the Bucks.
Well, that's a possibility as well. Like, I wonder if there's a fracture coming.
Because I think it All In, it's Cody and Flip.
My only thing with all of this is the Bucks just went to heavyweight. Was it to go to heavyweight just to get this match, and now we're going to kind of let them float in limbo? Or is this to eventually fracture off? That's my only thing. Because I think if the Young Bucks go heavyweight, then I think they should be going after a title. Should they not?
You would think so. I mean,
seven
there's
times
also...
is nothing to sneeze at for a junior heavyweight title.
No, and you would. I am shocked that Kenny won the match.
Yes,
I am shocked about that.
I thought Cody would have interfered in some way, but
yeah, I am very shocked that they let the Golden Lovers win, because at some point Kenny's just going to go back to doing tag stuff. I'd almost assume that he'll maybe even face Ibushi at the Tokyo Dome next year. And I just thought that the Bucks needed a win more to solidify themselves as a heavyweight tag team, as the best tag team in the world. And, I mean, with the Bucks, well, everything is going very good right now. Come the biggest question of the year was Daniel Bryan, and now that's done. We know the answer for Daniel Bryan. So now we come down to another contract that we're going to ask a lot of questions for at the end of the year, and that will be with the Young Bucks and their contract status. And everything will be interesting with what happens with that now.
Yeah.
Every move will be like, oh, are they doing this because they're trying to wrap this up and then they're going to go to New York? Or are they just doing this because they want to do that? That's going to be in the back ahead of everybody. I mean, with the Funko Pops and all that kind of stuff up, I would be surprised with the jump, but you never know.
Yeah, and just because they've got all this stuff going doesn't mean maybe this is the hottest they'll be, and that's when they decide to finally pull the trigger.
Yeah.
What the Bucks could bring as singles competitors could be very interesting, because that's never talked about. It's always been just kind of them as a tag team. I wonder what a independent Matt Jackson does and an independent Nick Jackson does.
Yeah. Which one do you like more individually?
Oh, that's that. I need more of a sample for them as single.
Just off the top of your head, let's just play devil's advocate.
I don't know. It's tough. Both bring different elements to the table that I think is important to a quality pro wrestler. So it's really kind of...
It's hard, because I mean, we never would have picked Jeff or Matt, right?
A2, and it's really A1 and A2. They're on that same level. I just don't know who would break out, and I don't even know if they will break out, or if
no, I don't think they will either. I would say if I had to pick, and again, the sample source isn't there, I would just maybe lean maybe Matt right now.
I wonder if that's how Cody's going to try to drive a wedge, because we've talked about Matt, we've talked about Nick, we've talked about Cody, Coda, we've talked about Kenny. Cody's a shining star right now.
That's
like,
guy heat.
He's a star almost, and there's dust trailing behind him.
Well, wouldn't it be interesting too? Because you saw that Gold Dust tweet from this week, hey?
Yeah.
Very interesting. If a certain brother could come and join him.
I think his wrestling days are slowly winding down, which is okay, because I mean he's had a long career. So if he went and had one run with his brother, and maybe that's a big match next year, is Dustin versus Cody.
Because they never get to fully do it correctly in WWE.
No. Cody Rhodes has just reinvigorated his career, reinvigorated the brand that is Cody Rhodes. Going to the independents and just...
He changed the independents. I think Kenny Omega is the best wrestler in the independents, and Okada's not far behind him, if you even want to count New Japan as an independent.
I don't.
But Cody Rhodes changed the game. Cody Rhodes put the face on it.
Yes, he's everything you'd want in a WWE superstar.
Yeah.
And
but he needed this. This is like with McIntyre, right? To a lesser degree. McIntyre went and he conquered Europe, and then he was one of the bright spots in TNA. Sometimes these guys, and I wish this would happen to Dolph, sometimes these guys, and I hope this happens to Ryder, they just have to go and find themselves again. And that's what Cody needed.
Yeah.
He'll be back in WWE, don't get me wrong. Like, out of anyone in the Bullet Club, Cody Rhodes will be back.
Yes.
Because I think that'll be something on his bucket list to really be the guy at WrestleMania. But he needed to find himself again, and I think he needed to prove to Vince and all those writers, much like McIntyre did, that they were missing out. And now we all know, those are the two best success stories we've seen. Sometimes it doesn't work. MVP didn't really work out for him. Chris Masters didn't work out with him. Carlito, it definitely didn't work out. It worked out for McIntyre, and it's really worked out for Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just one of those things where sometimes it's worth the gamble, and sometimes it'll pay off, sometimes it won't. It's, you got to take a risk, you got to bet on yourself, and you just got to go for it.
Exactly. So that match, I think we both think it's going to get 5, and it was a very good show, and it's going to be a very exciting New Japan situation come this Sunday as well.
Yeah, April 1st.
How do you see that match playing out? Do you think Okada retains?
Well, let's run through the card and let's
give
a little bit. So we got Bullet Club versus the Young Bucks. That's how it's being listed. Chase Owens and Takahashi versus the Young Bucks. I think the Bucks are going to win. I think it makes the most sense for them to get a victory, unless you're going to really play into the back.
Mm-hmm.
You got Yano and Ishii versus Suzuki-Gun. And, I mean, that's kind of a throwaway match. I think that we're getting closer and closer to Ishii challenging for the Intercontinental title. Because, boy, oh boy, did they beat the piss out of each other.
Oh my god, did they ever, hey?
That's definitely a match that I think we'll get to see very soon. And it'll be a good match, too. It'll be a stiff, brutal match. Suzuki, this almost kind of this villain that you could like you look at him and you're like, he could kill me. He'd kill me and he wouldn't even blink an eye. And Ishii is just like his nickname's the Stone Pitbull. He's just that. You do not want to piss either one of those off. So I think we get to that. We've got Bad Luck Fale, Tama Tonga, and Tonga Loa, both coming off a loss to Cody and Marty, which was a little surprising. What'd you think of that? What'd you think of them losing?
They've kind of seemed like an afterthought at times.
Yeah. I don't know.
I've been huge on them being the afterthought on it, but at the end of the day, the way that the other side of the Bullet Club has been promoted, it made sense.
Yeah, no, and I agree. And it's a shame, but we've got Bullet Club defending their never open weight 6-man tag team titles versus Taguchi Japan, Toba Makaba, Michael Elgin, and Taguchi. I can't see the Tongas losing back to back, but then again, Gato is a psychopath when it comes to booking, so
who knows? Maybe they'll be joining the Good Brothers soon. Doubt it, but
I don't know. It'd be interesting to see how they get used, because I do like Tama Tonga. I really like Tama Tonga. And Fale back with Finn would be an amazing sight to see.
Fale is the kind of guy that I can see in WWE. I don't see him doing a lot, but I can see him as a guy that Vince may like.
Yeah.
Just the size and everything like that.
And then we've got Tanahashi versus Tanahashi, Juice Robinson, and David Finlay, who is challenging Jay White for the U.S. title, versus Chaos, which is consists of Goto, Jay White, and Yoshihashi. This really the underlining this is David Finlay going for the IWGP U.S. title, and I think that's the underlining story here, and I think Finlay's team wins, kind of create a little bit more doubt. I liked what I saw from Switchblade versus Hangman, and this is a nice title to help continue to build guys up, and I think that's what they're doing with Jay with this title.
I agree. I was surprised that Finlay didn't have an Irish accent to him, but I guess he was raised in the Americas, so that makes sense.
Yeah. We've got Los Ingrávenes, Naito, Evil, and Sandra versus Suzuki Gun. So that's Suzuki, Lance Archer, and Davey Boy Smith Jr. Is this when Jericho finally runs out and attacks Naito?
I don't know. It was weird on that. And that Chael interview, again, he kept on talking WWE, never really mentioned New Japan. Plus, he's going to be part of that greatest Royal Rumble ever.
Yeah.
So I wonder if he is just done.
That'd be really weird.
Like, maybe they just decided, maybe Goto just got sick of him and his schedule and didn't want to deal with his Fozzy schedule?
Maybe.
And that was that. I don't know.
It would certainly be a shame, because I think Jericho could have a bunch of good matches.
I do, too. I totally agree. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah. I think that'll be another good tag team match. We've got it's a three-way for the junior heavyweight tag team titles. Roppongi 3K versus Los Ingrávenes, consisting of Takahashi and Bushi and Suzuki Gun, El Desperado and Kenmaro. I'm terrible with names. I can't see Roppongi dropping the titles just yet, but maybe they want to give Suzuki all the titles.
Maybe. He's already got a few.
Yeah. Then we kind of get to the last three matches are kind of a big deal. A decent undercard, but this is where you sink your teeth into. He's cursed, Josh. He cannot defeat him. Will Ospreay defends his IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship against Marty. What's his last name?
By God, it's Scarl.
Oh, okay, there we go. We got
Scarl, Marty Scarl.
Does Ospreay break the curse?
I think so. I they tease something with Ray, and that's again weird because it seems Ray is headed to WWE, so I don't know what that was all about or if he's going to WWE. Ray was obviously there for a reason.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going with that, but everything we had heard was that Ray was going to WWE, and now it seems like they may hold off and come that San Francisco show. They'll do stuff with Ray, which makes sense because Ray is, you know, lives in the California area, 619 San Diego. So wouldn't be shocked if Ray does that stuff with Ospreay, and they're kind of doing this legend scene with Ospreay now.
It's funny because what's Ospreay's finisher?
Jaws cutter, much what? Like the RKO.
And who did a legend going after legends gimmick?
That would be Mr. Randall Orton.
He's just taking after Mr. Orton now. And just as long as Ospreay doesn't start throwing a bunch of temper tantrums and
pooping in people's bags.
Yeah, as long as none of that happens, we're good. The next match, and this is a big match. This is one of the big draws. Golden Lovers, Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi versus Bullet Club. Cody and Hangman Page. Does Cody sneak out a win before Supercard of Honor?
I actually don't like that they have these matches with Cody and Kenny. I don't want any more physicality. I just want it teased.
I'm okay with it because it's one of those things where it's just like it kind of adds to it, and it just kind of continues to add to the fracture of things. And I think this will add another layer to the eventual breakup of things, and how the pieces fall, I think, will be decided at Supercard of Honor. But I think this is a nice little appetizer for what's in store in 8 days, 6 days from that air date.
Mm-hmm.
So, who do you think gets the win? Is it Bullet Club sneaking something out?
I think Cody's winning the match at Ring of Honor.
I do too.
I think that's the best story to tell. So I would say that the Golden Lovers get this and they continue their rule.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
And what's Adam Page's contract?
I don't know.
Because that's a guy that I don't think will be alone for very long.
Yeah. Well, did you hear the story about Hangman Page?
No.
That he wasn't a full-time wrestler. He was a teacher until he got into Bullet Club, and once he got into Bullet Club, then he quit teaching, went into wrestling full-time.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, he is a graduate of Virginia Tech, where he earned his bachelor degrees in 2 years. Fultz was a full-time high school teacher while also wrestling. This is until his first tour with New Japan in 2016.
So he hasn't been at this long. So he can stay on the indies for a while, I think.
Yeah.
But he's definitely got he has that WWE look to him.
He had a match around Lost WrestleMania 2 years ago when they had the Ring of Honor show. And you and I watched that hardcore match he had. I think it was with, I don't know which Briscoe it was, but it was with one of the Briscoes.
Oh, the split knee?
Yeah. And it was, I would like to look at it right now. It's with Jay Briscoe. And that match was intense.
Yeah. I think he's got all the makings of maybe not your crown jewel for your company, but a really, 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 really solid player.
He's only 26 years old.
Oh, the future's bright for him.
Yeah. So he's got a lot on his plate, and like he was just kind of starting in Ring of Honor in like 2013 doing stuff, and he's kind of slowly built himself up, and now he's one of the bigger stars now. I mean, I think that Jay White spot was really the first chance for him to really show what he's got.
Yeah, shows what he's got. I think the Joey Ryan thing was a nice exposure for him because of how over Joey Ryan is and how well-known Joey Ryan's name is for independent wrestling fans. Just little things like that, and now being kind of ingrained in this big, massive feud, and being the Elite has been a huge help to his career.
Joey Ryan, by the way, is 38.
Just giving back to the business in many different ways.
Really quickly, guess who two of the names are that train Joey Ryan?
Who?
Brian Kendrick and one Brian Danielson.
That's fantastic.
I know.
The two Bryans.
He also was on Wrestling Society X, if anyone remembers that.
Oh, I don't, but
he never really found his way. Like he had been on TNA. He had a short stint with WWE in 2005, 11, and 13. But I think once he got the penis pump, the pornplex, that will just be his legacy. And, I mean, he's found his way into episodes of GLOW. So sometimes you're just not meant to be the big star. He'll always kind of have this legacy around him, though. He won the NWA Tag Team Championships with Carl Anderson, though.
There you go.
Yeah.
Some guys just he'll be on All In
too. I'm assuming too, right? Like he'll be on All In.
Yeah, I would assume so.
You know, the match they should do with him is him versus Mia Khalifa.
Yeah, that would definitely get eyeballs on the product.
Yeah, I know they teased it, but that would be where you want to build to is him versus Mia Khalifa for All In.
That's not a bad idea.
Or they'll just overall do him and Hangman Page, but I can't imagine they're going to hold it off that long.
I don't think so, but, I mean, stranger things have happened. Maybe the Bucks have been like, just hold off for us.
Yeah, could be. And then we got the main event coming up here, right? After talking about Pornplexus, we got a match that's going to be very good.
Yeah. So a rising star, first British-born wrestler to win the New Japan Cup, Zack Sabre Jr., who admittedly, his ring style doesn't wow me as much, but his personality just continues to shine through. What he did at that Strong Style Evolved, and just what he did throughout the whole New Japan Cup with his promos, he's just shown another level of a personality that I think just endears him more to fans.
Exactly.
And he will be taking on Kazuchika
Okada, yeah.
Yeah, Okada. And this could be, with a successful title defense, he could tie Tanahashi's record. So this is a big deal in building the legacy of Okada, because having the title for as long as he has had and being able to tie Tanahashi's record, who was the ace for New Japan, we've already seen the passing of the torch for Tanahashi to go to Okada. So that's already done and finished. Now you're just building Okada's legacy. You're really just giving him things in the record book to solidify him as one of your greatest champions of all time. And I think
645 days, 10 successful defenses.
That ain't a bad record to have. I can't see Zach winning.
No.
But, as I've said, Gato is a madman. He likes to surprise us, and he likes to do crazy things. They built Zack Sabre Jr. up as a submission monster. The guy is just making people tap out. He made Naito tap out, he made Ibushi tap out, and he made Tanahashi tap out, and Sandra tap out.
By the way, Okada has the longest combined amount of reigns in New Japan history as a champion, passing guys like Fujiwara, the Great Muda, Vader, Nakamura, Tanahashi.
Yeah, Okada's in a class of his own right now. Mm-hmm. He's taking on a submission monster. Like, this guy has found ways to wrap people up and make them tap out, and not physically tap out, but verbally say the words, "I quit, I give up, make this stop." So you've built Sabre up really well, and this could be a lot of fun. This will be a fun match. I think expect a little bit of a slower match. My question to you is, do we see something different from Zack Sabre Jr., or can he play without... play outside of his comfort zone, so to speak?
If it's not broke, don't fix it, right?
Yeah. So, Okada's very... I give Mo all the credit for this. Mo saying that Okada can go to guys and kind of... It's not having to have an Okada match. Okada can have a different degree of matches depending on who he's facing. He can work with anyone in the world. So I think we're in for quite a good match, but I can't see Okada losing.
I'd have a very hard time believing he could either.
Now, my question to you is, who does he lose to?
Or Tanahashi.
Tanahashi?
I just can't. You and I have looked at, like, you're looking at the opponents, right? And I'm just trying to look high and low. So I think Ishii will get another chance, because you were mentioning to me Ishii still own a chance.
Yeah.
Naito, you would have to think, is going to get another chance.
Yeah, he's. I think he's going to win at the next Wrestle Kingdom, but...
Do you think he wins the G1 again then?
I don't know. Maybe it's never happened, so this could be another feather in Okada's
Maybe cap. They do something with the G1... And hear me out, where it ends up being Ibushi versus Kenny in the G1. And somehow it comes to a tie.
Well, so I think the final match can't go to a draw.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say that, so I just wanted to double check. So I could see either one of those guys, either Ibushi or Kenny, going to Wrestle Kingdom, either to face each other or face Okada.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard at this point, because you and I were talking, like, who are the challengers, right? So maybe for fun, we'll do a Juice Robinson challenge. Maybe for fun, we'll do a Cody challenge or something like that. I mean, I look at the tag team division. I was impressed with you look at Ishii. That's somebody you can go with. Maybe they go back to Suzuki. You look at the tag team division. Maybe we go with the Davey Boy Smith. Build him up or something. I don't really know. It's very hard because you're running out of a lot of options.
You kind of burnt through some guys, and that is a concern. But New Japan has treated me so extremely well as a viewer. I'm really just going to kind of enjoy this ride and hope that they continue to crank out quality.
Exactly. That's all you can really say. And I mean, for Okada, I think it's safe to say he is the greatest champion in the history of the sport. I mean, when you have four reigns and you have the combined amount of days, I mean, Tanahashi had seven reigns, and he had the most title defenses with 28, but Okada has passed him by almost over 1,000 days.
Yeah.
Sorry, not by 1,000 days, but almost by 100-plus days.
That's big.
And he's had it in three less amounts. And he's five down. After he beat Sabre, he'll be four down. And again, you look at the name of these that have held this title that he has passed. A Tanahashi, a Great Muda, a Fujiwama, Vader, Nakamura, Anoki, AJ Styles, Brock Lesnar, Tenzin, just a few names that stand out in the panels of wrestling history.
Yeah. It's definitely remarkable what they've been able to do. I'm excited for what they bring with the G1 special.
I am too. I thought Hogan held the title, but I don't think he did.
I don't know if it was recognized.
No. Anoki was the first ever champion, though.
Yeah.
So, New Japan champions that are in the WWE Hall of Fame, there's two. Can you guess them?
Stan Hansen.
Did Stan Hansen hold the title? No, he did not.
Oh. I don't know. Who?
Anoki and Fujiwama.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we thought we'd only talk about half an hour on this, so let's get to the WWE. It's been fun time in New Japan, and this Okada and Sabre match is going to be a very good one. And by the way, we're only in March, and we have, at the top of my head, I'm sure there's other ones, but three definite matches that are match of the year, and I haven't even seen what Ospreay and Okada does. It's still on the bucket list for me to see.
Yeah.
And WrestleMania weekend, there's about three or four that have a very good chance to take that. I think we're going to have our match of the year WrestleMania weekend, and I think it's either going to take place in Supercard of Honor or the NXT.
Yeah.
Or Mania, I guess. All three have a chance with the Kenny match against Cody, the Ciampa and Johnny match, and AJ and Nakamura. And also, I mean, almost. And Black could be five stars also. So it's a lot. In WrestleMania, it's a lot.
It's going to be a very busy time.
In fact, WWE has a chance to really shine as a wrestling show, I would say. They have a lot of matches that have that emotional side to it. You look at NXT and you look at that Ciampa and Johnny match and what they did with Ciampa and Johnny this week with the parking lot thing and what they did in NXTV with Johnny coming out of the crowd. That match, I am very excited for Cody and Kenny. That match is pretty close to me for my excitement during WrestleMania week, as far as things that aren't on WrestleMania.
There's a lot that is. There's a lot that's going to be. There's so many things to be excited about.
Like, we haven't even talked about. I mean, Adam Page is doing two different matches as well, but let's talk about the WrestleMania card and the main card, and we'll get to talk about NXT next week because we're running a little bit short on time here. Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, another great beatdown by Brock. I thought this was an even better beatdown, and I love the visual they ended with Brock Lesnar, that even a part of you kind of wants Roman to conquer this guy.
Yeah.
They've done a good job of babyfacing Roman Reigns. He's not going to be the best babyface in the company anymore because that guy lives on SmackDown, and we'll talk about him. But they're doing the best they can to do something with Roman.
Yeah. It was a decent segment. Brock looks like an asshole, which is what you want. And we're just gonna. It's a little deflated for me because I know the end result already.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate. I mean, unfortunately for quite a few of these matches at WrestleMania, we know the result for them.
It's not like we have it written from Vincent Kennedy and McMahon ourselves, but it's pretty obvious. This one's the most, and that kind of takes some of the wind out of my sails.
I think we'll get a swerve in one or two of the matches. I think the two that we can say right now is that Asuka's winning and that Roman's winning. Those are the two for certain. They could do a swerve and have AJ win. They could do a swerve and have Alexa win. Those are all possible.
I don't know. I think that even the Asuka one's not guaranteed.
I would say it is because of one reason, and that's Ronda Rousey.
I don't know.
Because they're not going to have Asuka lose at WrestleMania when they can build something with her and Ronda next year and do these two undefeated streaks. That's where they're going to go with that.
I don't know. Maybe. It's a good possibility, but that's one I'm not sure on.
More weird Ultimate Deletion stuff from Michael Cole. I don't know if they're going with... Hulu, by the way, got some notices from fans that wanted to watch the Ultimate Deletion on Hulu, and they were told that wasn't our decision. We just get whatever WWE gives us. So yesterday, WWE ended up putting the uncut version, which is about 3 minutes longer, of the Ultimate Deletion. I haven't looked at it completely to see what's different. I don't know. Have you?
No, I haven't.
It's at 3,000 views right now. So obviously it didn't pump up the way they wanted to. But it kept Raw at 3 million in that extra hour. So, and Matt's going to be in the Battle Royal. So we'll see what happens with that. Cena. I think that's one of the main talking points from Raw. What the hell are they doing?
I don't know. I honestly, you look at this build and it just doesn't resonate with me. It doesn't grab my attention. It just seems very... You know the match is happening. Just get it set in stone and let's just have a hype promo for it.
Well, and you brought up the best point to me, too. It's like, if he wants to go to WrestleMania, just go in the Battle Royal then.
Yeah.
Because people can just say, like, I want to be in this, and they're in it. There's no match. There's no qualify to do anything. The Revival's like, we want to be in it. Cool, you're in it. Dolph's like, I'm going to be in it. Cool, you're in it. Matt says, I'm going to be in it. You're in it. So I seen it. If you just want to be in it, man, you don't have to be a fan. You can just be in this Battle Royal.
Yeah, the build for this one has been very lukewarm for me. I think this is a match I just kind of don't want.
But I think because we don't want to see Taker possibly lose again. I mean, John Pollock was talking about, oh, you could do all the names, but maybe say only one has beat me. But now the fact that he's lost two times, Undertaker at WrestleMania just doesn't feel special anymore. Like, no. It'll be fun, don't get me wrong. It's exciting to have him, but it used to feel special this time of the year to get Undertaker. And now that he has two losses, it's not fun.
No. I'm lukewarm on it.
It's a dream match, don't get me wrong, but it's a dream match 5 years too late.
Yeah.
Cena is getting a little more rusty in the ring, and he's just coming out of his prime, and Taker's far out of his prime. You had an opportunity to hit this a few years ago when it really would have made more sense, and you're... Just mess, and I can't get past what Taker looked like in the Rumble last year and what he looked like at Mania versus Roman, and he just did not look good at all.
No.
He looked old, he looked despondent, and he just, it was sad to watch.
Yeah, this, I just have no interest. Well, I have interest in it, but not high interest.
Remember when he cut that promo before Survivor Series? 2 years ago, and he said WrestleMania will no longer define me. He's got some weird promos. The one that he cut at Draw 25 and that one were both just ridiculous promos. The question I guess we got to ask is, are we going to go off the air next week on Raw and have nothing from Undertaker? Which I don't think is crazy to think at this point.
Are they going to have Cena running around WrestleMania looking for the Undertaker?
That's what I'm actually curious about.
Just a bunch of silly backstage segments that are kind of hokey, that he's looking for the Undertaker, and the Undertaker just magically appears at WrestleMania?
Or is he just going to come out and wait for the Undertaker, and that's where we're going to get the big entrance? Because I feel like you do need to promote this match. I mean, you have a lot of great stuff in the show you're going to promote. But we're already kind of waiting to see, number one, who Braun Strowman's tag team partner is for a surprise. Number two, if Madman Shane McMahon will be ready for after 13 days after surgery of diverticulitis, which is no joke. We'll talk about that in a second. And then we're just going to be waiting for Undertaker. There's just too many things that you're waiting on to see if they're going to happen.
Yeah. I'm not big
on it. I would have teased at least a gone. Like you and I both said, like I would have teased the gone at the very least. That way you have the idea, okay, the gone's going next week on Raw. I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah. Like, and why is it, like, I love him, but why is a 50-year-old Kane main eventing Monday Night Raw?
There's that too. I will say this, maybe they're holding out Taker because they're facing the national championship next week, and they're like, we just need to put everything into that we can. So if we don't put Taker, people will turn over during the national championship because maybe Undertaker will be there. Maybe that's what they're trying to think of doing with the ratings. I don't know.
Possibly, maybe.
So you and I are both very lukewarm on that. It's really the only thing I'm really lukewarm on because I would rather John Cena just go in the Battle Royal and have Sasha and Bayley do their own match because I like what they did backstage. What about you?
It was okay. The dialogue was a little hokey.
The dialogue was hokey, but it's finally Bayley stepping up for herself and Sasha getting to be the boss again. And they're finding their characters and being more of the characters that we saw in NXT. That's where I liked the most. It got a little hokey and a little Saved by the Bell to get there, but the end result is they're getting to more characters that we're used to and I think work better for them.
Yeah, I think the end result will be better off, but it doesn't do much for me. It's I'm sure the match will be good, but right now I'm just like, meh.
Ronda Rousey. First, let's talk about her in-ring before we talk about the promo Stephen Hunter did. The raccoon makeup wasn't the best idea.
No, and she's green. She's new.
Very green.
She's new to professional wrestling. This
and it's not like she's going in there with Becky or Natty. She's going in there with Steph.
Yeah.
That's where the concern goes.
Yeah. I just... This has been a decent build. Ronda Rousey is very valuable to the WWE. She's a very valuable commodity to have. But I don't... When you're in ring, you want to show off your strengths. I don't know if Ronda's going to get to show off what she's good at against someone like Stephanie.
No, and I wonder what the next... And the thing is that she's going to go from Stephanie, and then she's going to go back down to the Mandy Roses and the Dana Brooks of the world and build herself up that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, Stephen Bree wasn't as bad as we thought, but the thing is, Brie Bella is two times a wrestler right now than what Ronda is, because Brie has had experience doing it. So Brie could help lead Stephanie to have a match that, and don't get me wrong, that match wasn't a great match, but it was better than we expected. I think that's fair to say.
I'll give you lenience on this one.
Yeah, not saying it's a great match, but they were able to pull off an entertaining match and better than what we thought. And that's because Brie at least has had some experience in it. And Ronda obviously is a much better athlete than Brie Bella. Not a question. And are you kind of a little bit surprised? I know she's green and everything like that, but I thought much like a Kurt that she would just kind of be the kind of athlete that just picks it up like that. Because Shayna Baszler kind of has.
Such a rare thing. That's a.
It is rare. I just thought she was one of those athletes that could do that.
I came in with that was the big thing, is we need to see what she could do in ring before we made any real judgment calls on her. This is a big moment for her, but I think she will be fine long term. She might be a little bit slower along the process, which is fine. That's perfectly fine. It's not like there's a huge clock ticking against Ronda Rousey.
No, and let's be honest. The key in this is her and Steph don't need to do a lot. Hunter and Kurt can carry a majority of this match. You just need her to have a judo throw and an armbar and Steph.
So
then get those points, we're good.
So a guy that moves decently in ring, moves okay, not in his prime anymore.
Talking about Kurt.
Against a guy that can't turn his head. I don't know. I think it'll be fine.
I don't think it should be the main event. You and I both agree on that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it'll be fine, but this is going to be sports entertained, and I don't fully know if I'm going to be sports entertained by this match.
It'll get the mainstream's attention. It already has. I thought that the video package that was shot with Stephen Hunter was gorgeous, was super well done, and it either had something to do with Jeremy Borish having to do with it or Hunter taking full control of it. I don't know, but it was super well done.
Those are what the type of packages you want.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much a UFC kind of style package that you want to use because it helps you go more in depth with these characters, and it helps show these people off in a strong, strong controlled environment where you can control how they sound, where you can control the lines. If something sounds a little hokey, you can be like, okay, well, let's change it up. Let's try this. You get that little bit of time. So there's a lot more benefits to doing these type of video packages and promos than just sticking someone with a mic going, here, go read those lines.
Stephanie came off almost human in this.
Almost. I don't know if that's possible.
Almost human. She didn't have as many buzzwords in it.
You know, she's going to get them in eventually.
Hunter, I thought, did terrific in this. I love Hunter, very calm, and that cerebral assassin type of motivation from Hunter. I can't even think of a word. Shudder and cringe of the entrance that the two are going to have as a couple.
It's going to involve a motorcycle and
skulls and
death,
knights, something like that. By the way, as we like to start to do here, the YouTube views, Brock Lesnar beating up Roman has the most YouTube views. Second most YouTube views for Monday Night Raw, Sasha and Bayley in the back, 1.2 million. Those are the only two that have a million views from Raw. Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, the Braun stuff, it was they showed the Sheamus can hang with him. And the Miztourage got the best of Seth and Finn, and we'll see Seth and Finn again. But my thing for you is, are we going to see the Demon at WrestleMania, or is that something that you reserve?
That's something you reserve.
Because you kind of want to make it super special, right? So I don't think we see the Demon, do you?
No.
SmackDown, really, there's nothing really to talk about aside from three things. So let's get to the minor thing here. Rusev is now added to the four-way, which is awesome.
Rusev Mania.
And then,
do you think they put the title on Rusev?
I don't. I think that Randy's going to keep the title.
Okay.
You think you're leaning Ruru though, hey?
Yeah, I think it's just interesting that they've added him, just the chance and everything. I wonder if they want to cash in on that.
By the way, Charlotte was, she had some minor dental surgery or something, so she wasn't on this or the Mixed Match Challenge, so we didn't get to see her match with Natty. Probably see that next week. So that means if Asuka was in the back, she just wasn't there. What do you want to finish with, Brian or knocking AJ?
Let's finish with Brian.
Okay, so this is by far the best build they've done with knocking AJ this week. Nakamura was on fire. I really disappointed with what they did with Knock and Shelton. I thought that could have been a really good match, and they just made it a squash match. C'est la vie. That's what is WWE. You can't really get excited for big matches because they just don't exist at times. But I really like everything Nakamura did with AJ today. It was very well done.
Yeah.
I love when he faked the knee, came to him and said, yelled, need a face, and patted him on the head. And then talked about AJ being erratic and letting emotions run him, and that Nakamura is nice and cool. I thought they just did a brilliant job of adding excitement for this. That's their main event spot to build it up. Next week it'll obviously be KO and Sammy and Brian in the main event spot as we go into Mania. But they got to be in the main event spot. It has the potential to be the match of the week, maybe the match of the year, and they did everything they needed to build it up. I really like what they've done.
I'm quite happy with what they've done. This match doesn't really need a long, drawn-out story. It's two top talents. Knox been chasing the title for a while. AJ's the face that runs the place. And Ock wants AJ's spot. Simple and easy. Don't need to make it complex.
And now, Joel, you build up this thing of when he hits the Kinshasa, is AJ done from the Kinshasa? And if he kicks out, much like we were talking about the one with Angel, it's going to be a pop now because he's been saying, need a face, you're done. So if he kicks out of a Kinshasa, you're going to go crazy. And now I'm also going to be looking, does AJ do something erratic and emotional that costs him the title?
Goes for a set. Yeah, that's they've got a lot of little things built into it now, so which is good, which has a storyline to it that's going to be fun to watch. This is, like you said, this is the strongest Knox looked in a while.
Yeah.
And this is also going to be AJ's just on a tear. AJ is just, it's now trickier to say, but I think still AJ's the best in WWE. I think that title's going to shift to someone on the blue brand, but
yeah,
for now, he is the best.
I like the job they've done, too, of not saying, like, I hate you, you hate me kind of situation. They've just made it like, you're going to be erratic, and I'm going to hit you with a knee to a face. It's that simple.
Yeah. And we've won this match for a while, so...
Oh, so I'm excited. They've done... You know, it was a little weird, the build, the last few weeks, but I think finally tonight they put a nice bow onto it. They'll finish with it with whatever next week, I'm sure. I almost like that they're not touching, too. That makes it so much more exciting. Like, part of me wanted him to hit the Kinshasa, but I'm glad he didn't. Because now when he does, it's such a big deal. Like, I hope we can get through next week with neither one of these guys being physical with each other.
That's not going to happen. I think there's going to be... I think we're going to see AJ hit a phenomenal forearm.
I would agree with you. And let's finish. Shane McMahon. So he not – this is real life. Decided to take a break and go to the Bahamas with his family. And he got some kind of bug or some virus and he had to be flown home to New York. And it turns out he had diverticulitis. And apparently Vince had this at one point as well.
Yeah, but you'd never know it.
No, you wouldn't. So Vince had it at one point, and I think the biggest name that had this was Brock. Everyone remembers when Brock Lesnar had this and how it kind of cost Brock Lesnar his UFC career. And Shane, the son of a bitch that fell out of a helicopter, is going to try to be part of WrestleMania.
Well, about 200,000 people in the United States get diverticulitis, so it depends on the severity of it.
Right.
So this
he was discharged from the hospital, so that's got to be a positive, I'd assume.
Yeah. I think
and they were very careful today, too, and we'll get into why this matters, but they were very careful to say, like, we'll update you with Shane McMahon's status. So it's like they don't even know.
Yeah, and I think that's the big thing is we're not 100% sure on what's going to happen, and we don't know who's going to be Brian's partner.
Exactly. And then for Brian, well, Joel, take it away.
His promos have gotten better since he's been out. He comes from a place of passion. He comes from a place of there's reality to when he speaks. It feels like Bryan Danielson's talking to you.
It does.
And in this case, yelling at you. But he's worked up. Man, it's... You're going to have to keep Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns separate. It's just the way you have to do it for a while. Because Brian, whether you like it or not, is on a meteoric rise again. You just add a little bit more fuel to his rocket, and that thing's
going to carry. Isn't it not funny, Joel, that in like a snap of a fingers, SmackDown is the better show of WWE again?
And it's really because of one person.
Yeah. The writing all of a sudden seems better. I care about all the talent again. And Raw kind of went, like, SmackDown just got kind of boring and watered down for a bit there. And now I look at the SmackDown roster, and I know the shakeup's coming, but you look at Bryan and Nakamura and AJ, and I've even liked some of the stuff with Jinder lately. Like, I like what they're doing with the tag division. It's just been a very good last few weeks for SmackDown, and Bryan is the main reason why, though. He's leading the charge of all that.
Yeah. Keep him as the face of SmackDown. AJ can now go to Raw, no problem. And I don't think that'll hurt SmackDown at all.
It won't. It won't. And just the question will be how Bryan loses his GM spot, if the rumors of Hogan taking that GM spot will come through. I mean, we're starting to get the people nominated for Hall of Fame inductions, and Hogan's been rumored to be the one that does Hillbilly Jim. So I think if we see that, we could assume that, because Bryan almost kind of hinted today that he's done kind of wanted to be the GM. So we'll see what happens with that GM spot. And we're going to get the match we thought, at least at this point, Shane and Bryan versus Sami KO, confirmed it on Twitter. So we have the graphic. Every match we thought has been confirmed except for that.
Yeah, it's weird.
A little bit of a delay there. Air cut off. Joel, you still there?
Yeah.
You know, the WrestleMania cards come together. Only thing we really don't have is Cena match. We'll see what happens with that. Do you think we see Shane on SmackDown next week?
Yeah. I don't know. He's like his dad. God himself is going to have to come down and physically drag that McMahon from this earth kicking and screaming.
I will say this with Shane. He's not going to be on the road. He's not going to be on house shows or anything like that. He just has to do this one match.
Yeah.
That's the one thing you will say. He did have a pretty serious surgery and 13 days later. But again, this is the guy that fell out of a helicopter. So, and didn't really blink an eye on it. So Shane McMahon's a tough son of a bitch. And
so,
at
this point, should we just start harvesting McMahon blood and
handing it out
at hospitals, but there'll be side effects. You'll suddenly you'll grow Vince McMahon like hair, and you'll say, "God damn it, pal!" So if you're willing to take those side effects, then you can live forever.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're 12 days away from WrestleMania. We got an exciting set of Japan stuff coming up this week, and next week we got a big WrestleMania preview show of the whole weekend, with me, myself, Joe, and Mo. Not sure on the date that's going to come out, but keep an eye on that. It'll be a big blowout of everything happening in WrestleMania weekend. So until next time, cheers.
McMahon has a cologne.
Enjoy the day, people.